This is J.D. Doyle, and welcome to Queer Music Heritage. This is part two of a show I'm calling Harvey Milk Music, and I've gathered together music about and related to his life. We started this segment off with a dance record from 1999 called Believe, which was done by the Frustrated Housewives. That band is really an artist calling himself Adam Baum, who recorded with various musicians along the way. Up next is a couple of folk songs, one new and one fairly old. The new one, from last year, happens to be the only song on this show by a foreign act. Out of England is a band calling themselves the Stars of Sunday League, and they recently released their first recording, an EP named The Boys Got Prospects. From it is their song called Harvey Milk, and it'll be followed by one from the early 80s called The Ballad of Harvey Milk.
Harvey Milk, like satin over silk, you were loved by men so badly. Got the man in the street picking shit up off the street just to believe in something more than yesterday. Would I believe you, Harvey Milk? Harvey Milk, Harvey Milk, all you meant to be, a bigger part of me, said humanity to you. We gunned you down, now what to do but wonder, Harvey Milk. Harvey Milk, Harvey Milk, if the blood that you spilt was worth the stain, I'm sure you'd spill it gladly in a cold cup of tea, counting mountains by degrees. When you were young, I wonder what you wanted to be. I wonder, Harvey Milk. Harvey Milk, Harvey Milk, all you meant to be, a bigger part of me, said humanity to you. We gunned you down, now what to do but wonder, Harvey Milk. Harvey Milk, Harvey Milk, all you meant to be, a bigger part of me, said humanity to you. But we gunned you down, now what to do but wonder, Harvey Milk. Harvey Milk, Harvey Milk, what's another word for guilt when lessons learned have all been learned so badly? What unwilling manner spoke is worth yet little till it's wrote and writ again in marble till nobody stops to marvel? Or will it take another Harvey Milk? Harvey Milk, Harvey Milk, all you meant to be, a bigger part of me, said humanity to you. But we gunned you down, now what to do but wonder, Harvey Milk. I'm a fool, cause people marching makes me nervous. A sane way righteousness can make me nauseous even when it's right. Give me cinemas on Saturday night, and I will call you in the morning with the reasons you were right.
He came from the east out to San Francisco. He hung with the people on a street they call Castro. He rapped with with all the youth who marched against their war. He spread his love around, he mingled with the poor. He knew the straits would kill him, and many people sobbed. His murderer walks the street, but Harvey Milk lives on. He fought to be himself, he fought for the right to love. He linked arms with the people and sensed their vibration. He fought the establishment, he went to City Hall. He united all his brothers and sisters and the poor. He knew the straits would kill him, and many people sobbed. His murderer walks the street, but Harvey Milk lives on. But the straits are all sore losers, and their right-wing thugs have guns. There are many men like Dan White who do not know how to love. They want to push the people back into closets and off the streets. For they want us to be passive slaves and mask our deep feelings. He knew the straits would kill him, and many people sob. His murderer walks the street, but Harvey Milk lives on. So Dan White snuck into City Hall and gunned Harvey Milk right down. Although Harvey was not armed, his killer freely walks around. And the people then hit the streets, but the media made the jury blind. And Dan White got just 5 short years for taking Harvey's life. He knew the straits would kill him, and many people sob. His murderer walks the street, but Harvey Milk lives on. He symbolized liberation, he symbolized equality, he symbolized the powerless and all those not yet free. They cut him down like cowards to stop the march of history. But the spirit of Harvey Milk still lives in you and me. He knew the straits would kill him, and many people sob. His murderer walks the street, but Harvey Milk lives on.
That was Bob A. Feldman out of Boston, who's been writing protest songs since the 60s. He told me he makes all his songs public domain because, well, he just feels folk songs are for the people and their use should not be limited. Okay, I promised in part one that I would play you a series of songs about Dan White, which were motivated by the anger and injustice he set into place. In fact, I have 9 songs and I'm starting off with Art Peterson from 1979 and Twinkie Insanity.
Insanity has got a hold on me. It's driving me so crazy, I might kill everyone I see. You better not cross me, you better just let me be. 'Cause that Twinkie insanity has got a hold on me. I went to the liquor store to buy a pint of gin. But wouldn't you know that owner said the price went up again. Well, something come over me and I stole that gin that day. But when it comes to trial, boys, this is what I'll say. Twinkie insanity has got a hold on me. It's driving me so crazy, I might kill everyone I see. You better not cross me, you better just let me be. 'Cause that Twinkie insanity has got a hold on me. I had me a pretty wife and 3 adorable kids.
But I didn't have no job or work, I'd really hit the skids. Well, dealing dope was my only hope to feed my family. But naturally I got busted and they threw away the key. I should have said, Twinkie insanity has got a hold on me. It's driving me so crazy, I might kill everyone I see. You better not cross me, you better just let me be. Cause that Twinkie insanity has got a hold on me. Danny White, the cop that busted me. He shot Moscone and Harvey Milk, but soon he will be free. Oh, I wish I'd had his lawyers when I was up for trial. I'd stood right up square-shouldered and told him with a smile. Twinkie insanity has got a hold on me. It's driving me so crazy, I might kill everyone I see. You better not cross me, you better just let me be. That Twinkie insanity has got a hold on me. Twinkie insanity has got a hold on me. It's driving me so crazy, I might kill everyone I see. You better not cross me, you better just let me be. That Twinkie insanity has got a hold on me.
Before we get any further, I have to comment on what's become the myth of the so-called Twinkie defense. In Dan White's trial, his defense lawyers argued that his mental capacity had been diminished by his consumption of junk food. They said that was one of the many symptoms, not the cause, of White's depression. But a reporter covering the case played at the angle of the Twinkie, and it quickly caught on in the media and in the minds of the public, including songwriters, and that myth continues to this day. On the original 45 RPM record of the Art Peterson song, the flip side contained another by Lenny Anderson called The Ballad of Dan White. I'm going to play that one for you, but I have a live version of it from a few years later, which I'll get to in a few moments. Not only did Twinkies inspire writers, but also the riots that transpired the night of the verdict. They became known as the White Night Riots, and from that same year, the Mondellos recorded their take on it, named White Riot Night.
November 27th, and the campaign had begun. Danny White took a gun. Shot the only politicians, made the sound any fun. I hope you'll never see the sun. The sewer and the mayor, just to get him to the jail. Did he know he set the town on fire? With a twinkle in his eye and a Twinkie in his hand, Danny White took the stand. The jury, they were crying, the lawyers, they kept trying. Heard it all over the land. Crying television stations on the coast across the nation. We all know he got away with murder.
Here's some trivia. I played that song on my show before, years ago, and at that time I announced the title as White Night Riot. I see now my confusion. The picture sleeve for the 45 RPM record says White Riot Night, which is what they sing, but on the 45 itself it reads White Night Riot. And for even more trivia, they capitalized the D in Mondello's. On to one not as original musically, as it borrows heavily from the Kenny Rogers song Lucille. In 1980, Ken Clark and the Clark Tones released The Epic of Dan White. Mayor Moscone was succeeded in office by Dianne Feinstein, and you won't miss Ken Clark singing, "You picked a Feinstein to leave me, you heel."
Well, on a morning in Frisco, he loaded his pistol, and he went to the mayor uptight. He said, "I'd be wiser to stay supervisor," but the mayor said, "Tut, tut, Dan White." So he pulled out his gun, and he shot him for fun, but I'll bet there've been happier times. Till he pulled the trigger, then went to the brigger for 6 months on caviar and wine. You picked a fine sign to leave me, you heel. 4 lousy years and she doesn't like queers. My life was gayer till you shot the mayor and Harvey was lost in the deal. You picked a Feinstein to lead me, you heel. Play it, boy. Oh, that's pretty. Well, on the morning in question, I had indigestion from the news that made everyone sick. Well, riots transpired, Chief Gain was fired, Silver was hit with a brick. Now, is there a mobster who eats steak and lobster while sleeping on pillows of silk? And can you decipher why he's not a lifer for killing Moscone and Melk? You picked a Feinstein to leave me, you heel. 4 lousy years and she doesn't like queers. Old times were gayer till you said the mayors and Harvey's farewell to their peers. You picked a Feinstein to lead me, you heel. You picked a Feinstein to lead me, big deal.
Yes, to me, it almost sounds like Clark was focusing more on being clever with the Feinstein line. As a result, it comes across that he was more upset with her being mayor than what else had happened. Another band whose song had a different focus was the punk band Brain Damage. While their song was called Kill Dan White, it oddly, I think, barely focused on Harvey Milk, and when it did, it was a bit derogatory. They wanted Dan White dead for killing Mayor Moscone.
When Dan White killed Mayor Moscone, the Chronicle couldn't say enough bad things about Sid Vicious because he had killed Nancy Spungen at the time. But all they said about Dan White was that he saved people from a burning building, what a police hero was. So Mary kissed my ass to Dan White. At least Sid Vicious had the balls to kill himself. You listening, Dan? Dan?
Right now, 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 kill Dan White.
I had to brush up on my Sid Vicious history for this one. He was the bass player for the influential UK punk band The Sex Pistols. So part of the Brain Damage song was about Sid Vicious being charged for killing his girlfriend, Nancy Spurgeon, while both were under the influence of drugs. A few months later, Sid Vicious killed himself by a deliberate overdose of heroin. That track was probably recorded in 1979, though it was not released until a few years later. And we're up to 1983 now, and I want to thank John Raines, who rescued the next two songs. He's working on restoring tapes belonging to the San Francisco GLBT Historical Society, these in particular from the Randy Alford collection. Randy produced The Gay Life, a public affairs series on KSAN San Francisco, from 1979 to 1984. The occasion for the songs was an observance of Harvey's birthday in May of 1983. At a City Hall ceremony was Lenny Anderson doing a live version of the song I've already mentioned, The Ballad of Dan White.
I was very pleased to have been asked to come here and sing this. This is one of those songs that you write that you wish you had never written or never had needed to be written. I'd like to dedicate this to I'd like to dedicate it to the possibility that the key would be lost. The key to Dan White's cell would get lost. And also to my brother, who is in the fight for gay and lesbian rights in one of the major denominations of the Protestant Church, and I'm always proud of the work that he does. On a cold November morning, 1978, Dan White got up to go downtown. He took his 38. He went to see the mayor to demonstrate his rage. He was only going to act it out. It was just an emotional stage. Well, he found the mayor at his desk, unarmed and alone. A few words passed between them, and then he shot him down. With a coup de grace, he laid to rest a man well loved by all. But then he left and he reloaded as he walked through City Hall. Little Denny threw a tantrum, and two good men are dead. And the jury, they just slapped his wrist and sent him up to bed. Well, he later said that Harvey looked at him with quite a smirk. Danny hated Harvey's lifestyle. He hated his good work. So he pulled out his gun again. He blew another down. He claimed he had been overcome by an overwhelming sound. And with the gun still hot in his hand and the blood red on the floor, Dan White walked to St. Mary's, where he had prayed before. Then to the police station, where his friends were on the job. But they were ready and they were willing to protect him from the mob. Little Denny threw a tantrum, and two good men are dead. And the jury, they just slapped his wrist and sent him up to bed. Well, 6 months passed and the verdict came like a blow to my jaw. Somehow Dan White was innocent in the just eyes of the law. But if he had no malice as required for murder one, well, then why'd he pack those extra rounds? Hell, why'd he pack his gun? Little Denny threw a tantrum and two good men are dead. And the jury, they just slapped his wrist and sent him up to bed. And on this, there is no question, if he'd been black instead of white, they would have sent him to the chair. Hell, he'd be dead tonight. But the system would not take the life of that every mother's son. Was it sympathy that blinded them to the bloody deeds he had done? Oh, they said that he had been depressed. Well, I've been depressed myself. But does this mean that it's okay to get your gun down off the shelf and blow away two human souls whose views you do not share? Well, if that's the law, then we have all good reason to get prepared. Little Denny threw a tantrum and two good men are dead. And the jury, they just slapped his wrist and sent him up to bed. Little Denny threw a tantrum and two good men are dead. And the jury, they just slapped his wrist and sent him up to bed.
Thank you. Also appearing that day was one of my favorite choral groups. They were very popular in San Francisco in the early 80s. At that time, Jerry Falwell's Moral Majority was perhaps at its loudest, and a choral group was formed in protest. They called themselves the Choral Majority, and their goals were to celebrate the gay community while at the same time challenging audiences and informing them of issues, all to the tune of a church choir. They released one cassette tape of their work, but as this next song was not on it, I'm very pleased to get it and to share it with you. As much of their materials was parodies of Christmas songs, it's not surprising they sang this one. I'm Dreaming of Dan White's Christmas.
I'm dreaming of Dan White.
Dan White's Christmas.
His jailers are soon to let him go.
Oh, Jesus, no.
He'll get re-elected. He's well connected to big money. This we know. We'll fight against it. I'm dreaming of Dan White's Christmas. Let's crucify him for a show.
Oh, what a show!
Such an all-star Christian, nailed in position, yet tears they will never flow. He's such a real man. I'm dreaming of Dan White.
Dan White's
Christmas. With every protest song I write,
yes, song I write,
may all gays be ready to fight and transform the darkness to off-white.
The next year, 1984, saw the release of a couple more songs on the subject. A lesbian artist, now a film producer, named J.J. Noir, came up with her version of White Knight Riot. She seems to be cautioning what might happen if Dan White is released from prison.
Well, it's just a sin, May of 79. The verdict and the sentence did not fit the crime. In San Francisco, Supervisor White could not get his way. So he found the mayor, fell in soup by the blew them both away. Hey, hey, Blood and City Hall. Blood and City Hall, ha, ha, ha. Remember the
White Knight Riot.
Never forget the
White Knight Riot.
Remember the
White Knight Riot.
A sign of sentence will take lives up to. But as his march on City Hall, they got the message through. Gave in to violence on that 21st of May. There were no sweet excuses for our day. Our day, blood in City Hall. Blood on City Hall. Castle Street Bar, they called the Elephant Walk. But there was only talk when the police came in for riot gear. So tell me why, tell me why, tell me why there were buses here. But in the Elephant Walk, but in the Elephant Walk, 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 remember the
White Knight Riot.
Justice you get is seldom the justice you need. the murder would have had to say. Harvey Milk had been swayed down, white up and gay. Hey, hey, more anger in the night. If you release Dan White, Holly Pure White, remember the
White Knight Riot.
White Knight Riot by J.J. Noir. She had an earlier band called the Lesbian Snake Charmers, but for that song, the band was called Inverted Triangle. You can find the song on the Killed by Death compilation number 13. And the Dead Kennedys are perhaps the most well-known of any of these acts. In 1984, they changed the lyrics of the song I Fought the Law in this live performance.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dan White doing an old Bobby Fuller song. I fought the law and I won.
Drinking beer in the hot sun. I fought the law and I won. I fought the law and I won.
Harvey's brains out with my
Dead Kennedys doing a version of the song I Know Best by the Bobby Fuller Four, a hit for that band in 1965. And the only song on this extended set that was recorded after Dan White's death was by a band definitely not marketing for the masses. They called themselves Christ on a Crutch, and the album this track is from was called Shit Edge and Other Songs for the Young and Sentimental. Released in 1991, they went a step further by using for its cover a Bobby Vinton album cover from 1962 for his Roses Are Red album, a very smaltzy cover. Not sure how they figured they would get away with that, but maybe they thought they were too far under the radar for it to be noticed by anyone who would care, which is perhaps true. I don't know why, but the song is called Song for a Slab of Pork, and like Tina Turner doing Proud Mary, they start out nice and easy and end up nice and rough.
Dan White's dead. Dan White died horribly, hated and despised by his fellow man. Died with a Twinkie by his head, should have stuck with a loaf of Wonder Bread. Monoxide does one hell of a job if you want it to.
And that was Christ on a Crutch. For the record, there were a couple more Dan White songs I accumulated. Both have Twinkie in the title and are by the punk bands Nothing People and the Cosmetics. I can understand the yelling on neither one of them, so left those out. But at least if you care, you now know they exist. Two more called Harvey Milk that I could not understand were by the Gift Eaters and Intox. And there are ones with Harvey Milk in their titles by bands called Somewhere in Between, Supersonic Festival, and Farside. I could understand those, but could not find anything at all relevant in the lyrics. See what I've spared you? Oh, if you try searching for Harvey Milk songs, be aware that there was a kind of experimental rock band from Athens, Georgia, unfortunately, in my opinion, called Harvey Milk, who have released a number of albums since 1994. They sure muck up the Googling on this subject. I've got two tracks left, and one of them is by Blue Jean Tyranny. This is really avant-garde producer Robert Schaft, and the result is a Harvey Milk speech played over soft electronic music. It's the speech Milk gave at the No on Proposition 6 rally on November 4, 1978. This was released on a 45 by Schaft in 1980.
The first gay supervisor ever to be elected in San Francisco, here he is, Harvey Milk!
I don't think I could have said it better. going to read a quote that you all know or have heard before. In Germany, the Nazis came first for the Jews, and I said nothing, for I wasn't a Jew. Then they came for the communists, and I did not speak up, for I wasn't a communist. And then they came for the trade unionists, and I was silent. And then they came for the Catholics and the homosexuals, and still I did not speak. And then they came for me, and by that time, there was no one left to speak up for me. And that was by a very famous minister. It is probably the greatest indictment against the conspiracy of silence that has ever been given. Hitler did not succeed because of his fanatic supporters. He succeeded because people remained silent. People were intimidated into being silent. And John Briggs tried that too. The only thing is that conspiracy of silence has been destroyed. As religious leader after religious leader, educator after educator, political leader after political leader, and finally yesterday the President of the United States all stood up and said no on six. Thank you, Jimmy. And Jimmy broke down because there were gay sisters and brothers there with signs to remind him. And anybody who says demonstrations don't work, we will stay in San Francisco. We will not go back in our closets. We will work to make this city our city. And the San Francisco Chamber of Commerce, if they don't like it, our message to them is, love it or leave it. And now for my last message, I've met face-to-face that Republican senator from Fullerton 5 times. He has a shopping list. And the only way to take that shopping list and tear it up is to make sure in the next couple days you don't just say right on and stay at these rallies. You are needed. It's vital that you help knock on doors. It's vital that you help get the vote out on election day. Not for your own sake. Because you are here today means you are comfortable. There's a 14-year-old child, a lesbian or a gay man in Fresno, who is terrified. And the only hope that that child has is that on election day we win and win big. And only you and you and you can do it. And you've got to do it, not for yourself, but for that 14-year-old child. You've got to give that person, you've got to give that person hope. Thank you very much.
Again, this is J.D. Doyle, and I thank you for joining me on part 2, the more esoteric part of my tribute to the music concerning Harvey Milk. I started this segment with a dance track and am ending it the same way. This one, however, was not commercially released. It was a special mix done by Buddy Johnston. Buddy lives in San Francisco now, but prior to 1997, he lived in Houston and produced one of the two gay radio shows on KPFT. The show is still going strong and is called After Hours, produced by my friend Jimmy Carper. Anyway, Buddy Johnston took the Pamela Stanley hit, Coming Out of Hiding, and added to it clips from speeches not only by Harvey Milk, but by others, including Robin Tyler at the 1979 March on Washington. Here's Coming Out of Hiding, the remix.
Disorders began with a routine police raid on a homosexual bar, the Stonewall, on Christopher Street, in the heart of the West Village.
The We must destroy the myths once and for all, shatter them. We must continue to speak out, and most importantly, every gay person must come out.
It's my duty to make this announcement. Both Mayor Moscone and Supervisor Harvey Milk have been shot and killed.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Hey, God, understand something!
Destroy the myths once and for all, shatter them. We must continue to speak out, and most importantly, every gay person must come out.
Harvey, do you have a few words for KBFN?
Come on out. Join us.
Tell your immediate family, you must tell your relatives, you must tell your friends if indeed they are your friends, you must tell your neighbors, you must tell the people you work with, you must tell the people in the stores you shop in, you are indeed their children, and we are indeed everywhere. Every myth, every lie, every innuendo will be destroyed once and for all. And I ask people all over this country to do one thing. Come out! Come out, America! Come out!